And again, welcome to the House of God today. This is the final long weekend of the summer, and next week we want to do some vision casting. There are many areas of ministry and church life that perhaps many of you are not aware, and we want to advise you of some of those and together rejoice in the good work of the Lord and what the Holy Spirit's doing in this church and through this body of people. You know, in my humble estimation, this is the greatest church in Canada, right here. Might not be the greatest church in North America, because there are some churches in the U.S. of A. that really rally to the gospel and rally to the cause, and there are some churches in the world that are unbelievable in how they rally to the gospel mission. But I think this is the best church in Canada, and I appreciate what God's doing, and we need to stir our hearts and respond together to the great work of God. There's a great work of God that is being done, and the Lord wants to use us. We need to go deep with God, pour out our souls and hearts into His kingdom, into His harvest, because the Lord has things in store for us that we do not yet know. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him, for those who are obedient to Him, but He reveals it to us by His Spirit. The Apostle Paul was told, I'm going to show you things which you do not yet know. I'm going to reveal things as your ministry unfolds, as you go across the nations with the gospel. I will show you things you do not know right now. And in every one of us, I trust that we can have that spark of faith that God isn't finished with us yet. This isn't the end for our lives personally, for the church corporately. God has wonderful plans that He wants to bring forth. Call unto me, Jeremiah 33, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know as of yet. Call unto me, I will show you great and mighty things. How many want to see more of the gospel take effect in the earth? How many want to see more healings and miracles and people set free and people baptized in water and filled with the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. We need more of the Lord. We need more of His presence and of His life. Well, today I want to speak on the subject, let the Lord love you. Let the Lord love you. Isaiah 54 and verse 1. Sing, O barren, you who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you that did not travail with child, but you're going to travail. You that did not travail with child, you are going to travail. And more will be the children of the desolate than the children of the wife that had all the privileges, that had a nice and tidy house, that had everything in order. God's giving a word to the desolate this morning. God wants to speak to our hearts. God says, sing, O barren, sing, you who did not travail with child. You're going to sing and you're going to travail, and more will be the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. More will be the children. Say more in your spirit today. Say more. Because God wants to bring more into our lives. Then verse 4, fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for you shall not be put to shame, for you shall forget the shame of thy youth. Anybody with shame today? You shall forget the shame of your youth and shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore, for your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is His name, and the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall He be called. For the Lord has called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when you were refused, says the Lord. For a small moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. The Lord has called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when you were refused. Anyone here this morning with grief in their spirit? Anyone here feel forsaken? Anyone feel grieved in spirit? Anyone here that's been refused in life? maybe by a husband, a wife, rejected by your children, people that said they were committed to you, walked away in your life, and you're grieved and you feel forsaken. God wants to go against the spirit of grief in his people today. God wants to go against that rejection that comes into our heart and keeps us from the purposes of God, because he is the one who will make us fruitful. He has a word for the desolate. He has a word for those who feel grieved. He has a word for those who feel shame in their life. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 15. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated so that no man went through thee, I will make you an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. You know, God can't give us more than his word. He's magnified his word above his name. He's here speaking to us. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated in times past, God will make you an eternal excellency. God will make you a joy of many generations. In Isaiah 62 and verse 4, you shall no more be termed forsaken. No more. Say no more. Whatever you felt in your heart, and you look in your life as the Holy Spirit works and comes across your spirit this morning, there are things we have to say no more. No more. You will be no more termed forsaken, neither shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, meaning delightful, and your land Beulah, meaning married, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. In verse 12, they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. What a word from God this morning, from the prophet Isaiah. Sing, O barren, you that feel desolate. More will be the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. That's a word to you, that no matter the desolation that's come into your life, or the grief, or the refusal and rejection that you faced in your spirit in time past, God will give you more children than those that have all the privileges as it looks to you in life. What a word from the Lord. God wants to stir our hearts and strengthen us. You know, sometimes we look for love in the wrong places. Looking for people to love us, trying to get people to love us, trying to find acceptance. Seeking to do this or that, compromising our morals, compromising our values and our principles because we want to be accepted. We want to feel that we belong. And sometimes we look at this and say, well, that's a temptation of the young. And yes, it is a temptation of the young. Young in years. A young lady, a young man, seeking acceptance, and they compromise their life. And in the end, the relationship doesn't last very long, and they come out wounded and grieved and hurt. And sullenness can take over in their life. But I've watched this for many decades now, and it's not only a temptation for the young. It's equally a temptation for the older and for the old in years, that the rejection, the grief, the forsaking that takes place in life can get into your spirit, and you begin to try and get people to love you. Try and do things that people will accept you. But the Lord is saying this morning, let me love you. Let the Lord love you. Let the Lord love you. Let the Lord really love you. Fall in love with the Lord, and he will give you the kind of people that will love you properly and with a steadfast heart. Let God give you the people that he wants in your life that are going to really love you and not try to manipulate you and use you for their own gain and then walk away. Let God give you the people that will really care about you. He calls us delightful. He calls us married. He calls us not forsaken. We are the people of the Lord, and he wants to come and touch us and Take the grief out of our spirit. Take the rejection out of our spirit so we can really respond to him and be fruitful in our life in a glorious and holy way. More will be the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. No matter what we've faced, God has a promise that if we will love him and let him love us tenderly and sincerely, we will rise out of our rejection, we'll rise out of our grief, we'll rise out of our disappointment, and we will be filled with the glorious life of the Lord, and we will be fruitful unto him. Hallelujah. Number one today, you can start singing now. You can start singing now. Isaiah 54:1, sing, O barren. You that did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. We start singing because the promise of God is true. Before we see the children, before we even see the desolation turned, we can begin to sing now because the Lord's promise is true and he does not lie and his word is sure and he will give us more children than the children of the married wife. He will transform us in that kind of way. The virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, it says that she rejoices in time to come. She rejoices in the time to come. She's already rejoicing, although the time hasn't come. She's looking into the future, and she's rejoicing in the time to come because she knows that God is going to lead her out into the blessing of the Lord. God has good days for us. God has good plans for us. God has fruitfulness. God has fulfillment for us. Those who call on the name of the Lord, not one of them will ever be ashamed, the Bible says. Isaiah 51 and verse 11, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Zion in simple terms today is the presence of the Lord. The redeemed will come with singing. How do we make our way to the presence of the Lord? We come with singing. And everlasting joy is upon our head because Jesus said, your joy no man can take from you. The joy that I'm putting in you, no man can take from you. It's an everlasting joy. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. The picture is this. A people are going up to the presence of the Lord. And they're singing because they know the goodness of the Lord awaits them. As they make their way in God, there's going to be everlasting joy. The blessing of the Lord is upon their lives. And the Bible says that sorrow and mourning flee away. There are some companions that want to get in alongside of us in our walk with the Lord. Sorrow and mourning, rejection and desolation want to come in alongside, but as we begin to praise the Lord, as we go with singing, as we go with joy, those companions drop off. They say, we don't want to be a part of a praise the Lord person. Let's go hang back with some Christians who haven't learned how to praise the Lord yet. We can go to Zion with singing. The Bible says we triumph in the praises of the Lord. We triumph in his praises. And if we do not enter the praises of the Lord and that singing of the Lord, we cannot overcome our rejection. We cannot overcome our desolation. We cannot overcome the refusal that we felt in our life. It's only the Lord who can heal us. You know, the world talks about closure, but closure is a lie. Time doesn't heal all wounds. Time heals nothing. Just because someone has a ceremony and makes a statement and says, now we have closure, there was no closure. Closure is something only God can do on the inside of your spirit, in your grief and in your situation. God alone can heal our hearts. God alone can come and minister to us in a proper way. Only God can take the fragments of a broken life and put them together in a beautiful design that blesses him and brings delight into the heart of the person. Only the Lord can heal. The Bible says, we know all things work together for good to them that love God. There's the condition. To those who are the called according to his purpose. As we love the Lord, As we walk in his calling, as we walk in his purpose for our life, the Lord does the miracle. He brings all experiences of life into beautiful design and a tapestry of glory. And we understand his working, and we look on the beauty that he does. Other people would look at it and sometimes say there's frayed edges and things aren't fitting right, and my, look what happened to that person. My, that was a difficulty. My, they had trouble. And yet the person that's walking in God says, I know God is working all things together for good because I love the Lord and I'm called according to his purpose. We can start to sing now. Start to sing now. Even in your rejection, even in your grief, start to sing because the Lord is leading you out into a glorious future with him. Number two, stretch out your hands toward God. Stretch out your hands toward God. Job 11, 13 to 17 says, if you prepare your heart, if you prepare your heart and stretch out your hands toward God, if iniquity be in your hand, put it far away and let not wickedness dwell in your tabernacles. For then you shall lift up your face without spot. Yea, you shall be steadfast and shall not fear, because you shall forget your misery and remember it as waters that pass away. And your age shall be clearer than the noonday. You mean the older we get, the clearer we see and the brighter the promise of God? That's what the Bible says. Your age shall be clearer than the noonday. You will shine forth. You will be as the morning. These are God's words. These are God's promises to the righteous. But look what it says. If you prepare your heart and stretch out your hands toward God, it says you will be steadfast. You will not fear because you will forget your misery and remember it as waters that pass away. There is misery that comes. There is rejection that comes. But God wants to work in our hearts. I think of his own son, Jesus Christ. Bible says he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised, rejected of men, and yet he put himself into the love of his Father. He knew he was loved. This is my beloved Son. And because Jesus Christ entered into the love of his Father and walked in that kind of close relationship with his Father, he was the most fulfilled and fruitful person that ever walked this earth. Despised and rejected, but so fruitful, so powerful, so abundant in the Lord. The Bible says we shall forget our misery and remember it as waters that pass away. Sometimes waters come and they're turbulent and they really beat against our life. But the promise of God is that the waters, the misery will pass away, that God will deal with the turbulent waters. That as we seek him, as we stretch out our hands, as we prepare our hearts toward God, that he will come and calm the waters of the sea of life, and we will remember them as waters that have passed away. Now we can recall the memory, and all of us have passed through some difficult waters. We passed through some grief and misery, some difficult times. You can recall the memory, but if God has healed your heart, it's like the waters have passed away. The turbulence is out of them. The boiling action is out of them. The strength is out of those waters because calm has come back to your life. You shall forget your misery and remember it as waters that pass away. The faint recollection is there, but it has no more power because God has come and healed your life. You know, sometimes you just have to say, thus far, you proud waves, and no further. Thus far, you proud waves, and no further. And I've got a personal word in my own life on that, that I've claimed for many years, and I'm believing God for the rest of my life and for my family and the generation to come for a certain word from the Lord. Because I've said, thus far, you proud waves, and no further. In Job 38, the Lord spoke to the primeval waters, the raging seas as he created the world. Job 38 and verse 8, the Lord said to Job, or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. When I fixed my limit for it. When I fixed my limit for the seas, for the waters, and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud ways must stop. God spoke a word against the primeval raging waters. The Bible says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was there, and the waters were agitated and boiling up on the earth. And God spoke a word and said, this far you may come, but no further. And here your proud waves must stop. He shut up the sea with doors. He fixed a limit for the waters of the sea. Now there's a wonderful verse in Jeremiah 5:22. It says, do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? Who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea by perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it. And though its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. Will you not tremble at my presence? I place the sea, the sand, as the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that the sea cannot pass beyond that sand. And though its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. One of the greatest miracles, one of the greatest wonders in the earth is that a tiny ribbon of sand holds back the oceans of the world. When you think about it, it's amazing. A tiny ribbon of sand holds back the waters, waters that are raging, waters that are turbulent. Just a few meters offshore, they fall harmlessly and quietly on shore, and they gently lap against your feet as you wade in the waters. God set the sand as the bound of the sea. That's the incredible word of the Lord. We know it's not really the ribbon of sand in itself, but because God spoke a word and said, all I need is a little ribbon of sand, and I'm going to hold back the seas. It's the word of the Lord that spoke. And God said, thus far, you proud waves, and no further. And in our spirit, we must have that kind of aggression against forces and against the turbulent seas that have come against our life. Thus far, you proud waves, and no further. You will never overwhelm me again because of the word of the Lord that's in my heart. And we take a word from the Lord. You know, one word from God and the oceans cease their raging. One word from God, just one simple word from God put into your spirit, and the mountains start to move. The mountains start to move. By perpetual decree of the Lord, the waters are held back. Stretch out your hands toward God. Begin to prepare your heart toward Him. If you're dealing with turbulent waters, if you're dealing with misery and rejection and disappointment and discouragement in your life, stretch out your hands toward God and begin to say with the Lord, thus far you proud waves and no further. You discouragement, you despair, you grief, you rejection will never overwhelm me again. By the word of the Lord that I speak against you, and you rise to walk in fruitfulness and the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Number three, if God can get seed into you, you will travail and bring forth children. If God can get seed into you, you will travail and bring forth children. Isaiah 54:1, sing, O barren, you that did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you that did not travail with child. Again, I add in, for you will travail, and more will be the children of the desolate, as you may consider yourself, than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. We must travail to bring forth children. You can't bring forth children without travail. There's no birth without travail. You can't have fruitfulness. You can't have children. You can't have a glorious future unless you travail. And you can't travail unless seed has been put in your life. Every one of us understand this. A woman can't just decide to travail. I'm going to travail and bring forth children. She can't travail by thinking she wants to or would like to. There's only one way a woman is going to travail, and that is if seed is put in the womb of her body. And if seed has been put into her life, she can't help but travail. She is going to travail and bring forth children. And it's the same in the kingdom of God. We can't be fruitful without travail, and we can't travail unless seed is put in our life. Now, we know that the seed is the Word of God, the promises, the Scriptures. We must put the seed of God into our life in a deep and fervent way, that we take the Bible and we weep over its pages and we memorize its promises and we spend time in the Word, sometimes hours in the Word, calling on God to make His Word real and to change us and transform us and give us children, give us fruitfulness, give us a flourishing life. And if that seed will get down on the inside of us, there will be a travail. There will be birth pangs. There will be a cry unto the Lord. There will be utterance that comes out of our spirit, and we will be changed forever. We will be changed forever. Sometimes we try and find love in the wrong places. We're trying to find our love in the world. We're trying to find something that'll make us fruitful, satisfy us. Maybe there's something in the media. Maybe there's something in the entertainment realms. Listen, there's only one place for the people of God, and that is in the presence of the Lord, where His life and His Word and His Spirit begin to fill us from the inside, and we bring forth a transformed life. If we will get into the presence of Jesus with joy, if we will take time in the presence of our Lord to love Him and spend time in His Word until, as the Scripture says, these words begin to burn in our heart like a holy fire, until we spend time with the Lord where we feel His presence and we hear His voice and we feel His anointing in our life, and all of a sudden something begins to change from the inside. And we're forever changed from our desolation and our grief and our rejection and whatever has happened to us, because the Lord has given us a new day. And we rise in the glory of the Son of God, and we live in the power of a new world. I want to close with 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. It says, "But their minds were blinded." The people of God in the Old Testament, so many times they strayed and did not walk properly with the Lord. It says their minds were blinded. And then the Apostle Paul says, "For until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, the Scriptures, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." When we turn to the Lord, the veil, the covering, the darkness is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, that is in the Word of God, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, the image of Jesus Christ, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Word of God is powerful. If God can get His seed into us, we will travail and we will bear children. If God can get His seed into you, you will have a fruitful life. You will flourish in the fruit of the Spirit. You will flourish with purpose and vision. Your vision will go beyond your lifetime if you get the seed of God into you. because you'll travail with birth, and more will be the children of the desolate. All that rejection, all that despair, all the disappointment and misery of life, swallowed up by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the word and the promises of God, so we can go on and live in the glorious power of the heavenly world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the promise of the Lord. Promise of the Lord. Some here today that dejection and rejection has sullened your soul for many years and kept you back from the purpose of God. God has a great and glorious future. God will give you the most fulfilled life, the most flourishing life in His presence than you can ever imagine. Deal with the spirit of grief. Deal with the spirit of rejection. Deal with people don't like me. So-and-so has walked away from me. And that whole thing begins to cloud and veil your heart. Get into the presence of the Lord and let Jesus love you. Let God love you like He wants to love you. And you will take on the seed of God and you will rise. You will rise out of your brokenness. You will rise out of your barrenness. You will rise out of your desolation to serve the living God with all your heart, with joy and victory in your life. And you will hear Him say, delightful, married, not forsaken. You're my own. Now let's stand together this morning. Perhaps there are some this morning that need to deal with an area of grief in your life. Something that has plagued you, and there you are trying to find acceptance with peers and people, and not measuring up, you feel, and you become dejected again and morose in your spirit. So God has a much higher way of life for all of us. We can live continually in the power of the Holy Spirit, for the Bible says that God continually causes us to triumph. Now, this is a walk of faith. This is a decision of faith. This is something we have to deal with, something we have to take hold of. You can start to sing now. That's what God says. I want you to sing now, because Isaiah said again that if you'll go out of your captivity with joy and you'll be led forth with peace, the mountains and the hills will break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hand. Come out of your captivity with the joy of the Lord. Come out with singing. Come out with blessing. Come out with triumphant praises. Learn to bless the Lord with all your heart. Hallelujah. Learn to stretch out your hands before God. Maybe you've never lifted your hands in the presence of God. How high can get your hands? How desperate can you be? Not only in the church, but day to day, Lord, I stretch out my hands to You. Lord, help me to forget my misery. You know what's plaguing my heart. You know what the unrest that's on my spirit. Thus far, You proud waves, and no further. You are not going to overwhelm me today like You have in times past. We break the spirit of grief. We break the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. And we take in this glorious seed. Take this seed deep into our hearts so that we can travail according to the Holy Spirit, even with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech, that sighing and groaning and longing and yearning for the fruitfulness of God will come forth in us, and we will have the inheritance of the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. How many this morning need to respond to the altar? Come and deal with an area of your life, or ask God to help you. Maybe you're struggling with something that you've struggled with for many years. This morning you're going to come and say, thus far, You proud waves, and no further. You are not going to swallow me up. You're not going to crash over my life anymore. All I need is a simple ribbon of sand. All I need is a simple word from God, and I heard it this morning. Hallelujah. The altars are open. Come and seek the Lord. Come and seek the Lord. for all of us here today. You know, many times when we preach the word of the Lord, it feels like we're preaching to one person, because that's how specific the word comes. But I know it's for many, and I know the Lord would use this message to touch all of our hearts. But today, let's offer ourselves afresh to the Lord, no longer forsaken, but sought out, forgiven, loved, delighted in, a city that belongs to the Lord. Amen. Let's stretch out our hands to the Lord today.